Well, welcome back, listeners, to another week of From the Heart. We hope that you have had a fantastic week of life, arts, and culture. And we're so glad you're back with us tonight on this Sunday evening. And whether you are just now getting off work or relaxing and winding down from a long week and getting ready for the next, we are so glad you've turned in to listen to my wonderful co-host Mary and myself as we talk about the arts and culture of our great community. And speaking of great arts and culture, Mary, it was a fantastic week for here in our town. And I know that we got to see the ballet last week, and we were so proud of Robert and Julian Arcadian and the whole company. And it was just fantastic.
It was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And to think that Arcadian, only 20 years old, was able to write that music and he choreographed.
Yeah, I mean, it really is such a cool collaboration. You've got a 20-year-old who's not only composing the music, but also choreographing the entire thing and giving vision to sets and costumes and lights. And then to have a community orchestra play alongside is really an unprecedented event. And ticket sales were through the roof and just a great win for the Orlando Ballet. So we send kudos to that entire organization.
And also to Central Florida Community Arts. Congratulations to you
and
Julian,
you.
Who composed all the music that...
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. They arranged it. It was just really fantastic. And I know it was a great accomplishment for these musicians who aren't professional musicians. They are our doctors, our lawyers, our retail workers who love to play and got the opportunity to do something really cool. So that's incredible.
And also, I know I said this to you, but they never sounded better. They sounded so good.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And let's give a shout out to them. So another wonderful show that opened this past weekend, Singing in the Rain, at the Garden Theater, and I know it got a fantastic review from Matt Palm, so we are hoping to go out and get to see that show.
Absolutely, and our guest who's coming in just a few short moments has someone that he cares about very much in that production.
Yeah, absolutely, and I know that we read this in the review, but Matt Palm said, and I think we all agree, that Garden Theater is really a theater to watch.
Yes, it is.
They're doing some innovative programming and really finding great talent. And just changing the landscape of Plant Street and that whole area. Talk about the arts making a difference.
The restaurants, everything about that area is great. I bet Celebration's going to come up with a theater soon.
They should. Awesome.
I had a chance to see a show this week. I went to Orlando Shakespeare Festival and saw Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike, played by Christopher Durang. And two very good friends of mine, Philip Nolan and Anne Herring, who we've had on our show before, were both in it.
Fantastic.
Funny, good energy, a good cast that worked in a great ensemble collaboratively. And I was telling Jean that Anne Herring had a monologue where she's in her late 50s, never been even on a date because she was looking after her dad. And she gets a phone call asking her out on a date. And you see her face get so excited and her having to stay calm as if, oh, well, let me check my calendar. And and just how, oh, that would be lovely. Yes, just to talk. I mean, you just saw her like so moved and feel hopeful and feel something she probably could have felt at 17, but life didn't deal her that. And it was really touching. It made me cry.
Well, Anne Herring, who is a dear friend of ours, she is just a powerhouse on stage, can play any role, and so just overwhelming as an actress. I mean, she's larger than life. And then we had on the show, she's so peaceful and docile, and you're like, where is that lady? But a true actress,
next
really.
Next time she comes back, we're going to tell her, bring that lady.
Yeah. Well, we have an incredible performer, dancer, actor, leader, executive director, everything all wrapped into one amazing human being. We have Gene Columbus, the executive director of the Orlando Repertory Theater, with us today. And Gene, we are thrilled to have you back on the show, my friend.
Yes, Gene. And the one thing I'll add to that beautiful list that Joshua just gave you is our friend.
Well, thank you both for inviting me back. It's always fun to get with you guys. And thank you for sharing with the community all the cool things that are happening. And I will tell you that I was at the Orlando Ballet, and it was an absolutely spectacular production, and I was blown away. And with dance as my background, I was so impressed with the choreography. And I thought about the fact that the composer choreographed it, and that so much of the movement was probably already envisioned in his mind when he was doing. And so the marriage between the music and the dance was really, really special. So, and the orchestra was absolutely wonderful. So I had a great time there. And I also was at the opening of Singin' in the Rain at the Garden Theater, one of my favorite other theaters.
And, so well done. So well said, Gene.
Well, and the Garden Theater is a special place in my heart because before joining Orlando Repertory Theater, I was on the board of the Garden Theater when it was being conceived and constructed. And so it was so wonderful to be able to be out, see a production of Singing in the Rain, which is one of those shows that how can you not love it, but actually to see my son, Nigel Columbus, in the leading role. And and he effectively splashes those in the front row in the Singing in the Rain number. It was really, really fun.
Was it fun to watch him dance?
It really is. He is a remarkable young man and very talented guy. I think when I snuck a look at his essay when he was applying at NYU and ultimately accepted, he wrote a wonderful essay about following in his father's footsteps and going into the theater and certainly as a performer. But it was emotional. It had all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things about his dad never missed seeing him in a performance or going out to the ballpark and throwing a baseball with him, coaching him in a pas de deux for a ballet, but never missed that. But he ended it by saying, "And my father truly expects me to go further, and that's because I have bigger feet."
Well, and we know that it's true that your son just absolutely adores you because we were telling the story of how we got this show started on our first episode, and we talked about how you have been on this journey with us the whole time from our very first episode we did in a church fellowship hall, and your son came and talked about you and talked about how great you were as a father and as a role model and as a mentor. I think that show ended up being like 2.5 hours, right, Mary?
It was.
Because our stories were just so great. But yeah, we know that Nigel's a fan.
It was a result of a question we asked Gene about. It was a question, I think it was from Mike Korkus, a casting director over at Disney. He asked you, someone that you mentored that you were happy you could make such a difference in their life, and you thought about it, and you said, my sons. And Nigel happened to be there, so he came up. But oh my gosh, that was so moving.
Well, and I will say that that when my boys, my sons, the men, they're not boys anymore, it's wonderful to have them say to me that when they're faced with challenges, they say, "What would Gene do?" And that is such a great honor. I wouldn't say that I've always made the writer the best decisions. I try very, very hard. But my goal had always been to serve others. I think my model in life is I need to be successful helping others be successful.
That's a true leader.
Yeah, and I think when you think about our arts community, Gene, and you think about the giants in our arts and culture community that are leaders, you're absolutely one of the top, if not the top, you know, now that David Schillhammer, you two shared the crown, I think. And you really, I think that is a question that a lot of art leaders ask would be, what would Gene do? You're a great mentor for guys like me who started a nonprofit and didn't have a clue what I was doing. And you many times have given me advice or cheered me on. And so I do think that question that you're striving for people to ask is being asked about you.
Well, I know that there's a I have to be always conscious of the fact that I'm a role model only because I've been on the world in this world a whole lot longer than most other people, and I'm actually in the final phase of my career when I'm in my destination position. There isn't anything beyond being 75 years old, and I still have much to do at the rep. So I have no desires to do anything more than continue to help the rep be, as we say, our mission and goal, to be the finest in family theater.
Mm. You do children's theater. Tell us why children's theater is important.
Oh, my goodness. I love watching our field trip performances, in particular because all of the kids are there. They don't have a parent that's looking at them. They're with their classmates, and they become who they really are. And I love watching little girls tuck their knees up and under their chin and just kind of curl up and watch the show. Boys kind of stretch out, they scratch, and there seems to always be an imaginary person next to them. But what they're having a chance to experience is hearing the words that a playwright has spent a great deal of time devising. And there's always in our plays, there's always a challenge to be overcome. And so the young person gets a chance to see and hear in real time, in real words, an actor with real emotion dealing with those challenges. And for the child, they can take that and own that. They get a chance to see the impact when harsh words are spoken. They also see redemption. And in TYA, Theater for Young Audiences, all of our plays has hope, and there is always redemption for that antagonist. They always need to come around. Well, we'll say most of the time they come around. There are some stories that are well known that the bad guy's really, really bad and he's never going to get good, and we all accept that. Right. But for the most part, when we're dealing with children's stories, we want to make sure that it's understood that if you make a mistake, there can be the opportunity to turn that around and then do something good.
Out of the shows that you've had at the Rep, would you say there's a show that sticks out in your mind that had a major impact on children, a big effect that surprised you or that you were proud of?
I will go back to, it's been a few years now, we did an amazing production called 100 Dresses. 100 Dresses is a story of a little girl that wears her same tattered blue dress to school every day because it happens during the Depression. And in school, the girl with the pretty dresses, with the ribbons, makes fun of her. The little girl only brings bread because that's all she has for lunch. And why do you only bring bread? And the little girl says, well, I like bread. And so when another student offers her an apple, the bully says, oh, she only likes bread. Very mean. But there is that moment in which the kids have to have a drawing contest. All the students have to submit that. And then the bully, who's going to be a fashion designer, she knows that she's going to win, but she won't stop bullying the poor little girl. Why can't you have an easy name to say like Smith or Jones? And why do you wear that same ugly dress to school every day? And then out of desperation, that poor little girl says, well, I have 100 dresses just as pretty as yours at home. Well, how could you possibly have 100 dresses in that shack you call a home? Well, the contest, the tears, all of that for these students is so relevant. And I will tell you, on stage there was tears, but I looked into the audience and I saw children with tears in their eyes. It was very moving because they all got a chance to see how harsh words can be so painful. But as the story goes on, it ends up that the little girl with the faded dress, she and her family move from the area because they were made to feel so unwelcomed. But redemption. The little bully is distraught over the fact that it was the girl in her tattered dress, not there to collect the rewards of winning the drawing contest. She only saw it as her losing. But her teacher says that you can do something nice. You've always made fun of the custodian. And there's a very tender, really lovely moment where that girl draws a picture and presents it as a Christmas card to the custodian, and then goes to that shack, and indeed they find 100 dresses that little girl had drawn. And that's when we bring the lights up in the theater, and all around the top of the theater are these beautiful drawings of dresses. It was powerful. It was amazing. And the students from Riverdale Elementary School were so taken with the story that they decided that they would do a dress drive and they would collect 100 dresses to take to the Grant Avenue Elementary School. Well, their drive really took off, and they had well over 300 dresses by the time they got to the day of the presentation. And they took over their multipurpose room, and they put balloons, white balloons with dress sizes on the aisles, and they draped the dresses over the chairs. They had racks with dresses, and the older elementary school girls took the younger girls shopping for that perfect dress. And then they had donated bags and ribbons, and they wrapped these new or lightly used dresses, the new treasure for these little girls. And then the kids from Riverdale Elementary School came to the rep. And I will tell you, those kids came proud, so proud. They saw that they were making a difference. The next morning, we were bringing the kids from the Grant Avenue Elementary School. However, there were still dresses. So they invited those little girls to go back and select a second dress. The majority of those little girls did not select one for themselves, but rather for their sister or their cousin. The ripple effect. The theater, the stories, the efforts that we put into exposing our children to those kinds of positive examples will be lifelong lessons. And I promise you that the teacher from the one school will say that her students learned a great deal more by giving than the students that received.
Gene, we could end the radio show now, and I think you would have already proven how powerful theater can be and how life-changing theater really, really is. And we appreciate that story so much because it really speaks volumes to what we're trying to accomplish here.
I can't speak at all.
We're really trying to. But we are going to hear so much more from Gene Columbus as we come back. And we're going to learn more about him as a leader and more about what's happening at the Orlando Rep. So stay tuned, please. And join us back here on From the Heart on Magic 107.7 FM.
Everyone, welcome back to From the Heart. I'm Mary, sitting here with my amazing co-host, and we are both blown away by the talent of our guest today, Gene Columbus. I'm never with Gene when I don't cry. I don't know, is that a good thing?
He makes me cry. Oh, dear.
Let's go. It's Gene. He makes me cry.
I think he does make you cry, and I think it's just the sincerity and the authenticity behind everything you say, Gene. I mean, you're a great storyteller. But it's not fishtails, it's from the heart. And I think that's what, from the heart. See what I did there?
I see what you did?
Didn't even try.
I love it.
Awesome. Well, I think we have a special guest beyond Gene today on the show. Someone that has called in to that's very important to you, Gene. and wants to say hello, but also we want him to talk about you in a good way, of course.
Oh, how wonderful.
So I think we have on the line and ready to go your dear friend, Rich Taylor, who is,
So tell you what.
Hello, Gene.
Yay.
Rich Taylor, sir.
I heard you were on the show today, and I thought it gives me a chance to once again thank you for hiring me in 1980 here at Walt Disney World.
Oh, my goodness. And I appreciate the fact that you always remember that. And I remember over the years, even when you became my boss, that you still sent me a thank you note to thank me for hiring you. I think I still have all those cards in a file.
That's good. Dean, you changed my life, but you changed so many lives in Orlando. I know they're probably talking to you a lot about your story of being a performer and being in entertainment management and Disney, but what I think most when I think about Gene Columbus is the lives that you've impacted and changed, not only by just hiring somebody like me, but also the way you mentor people. And I think I'd love for you to tell the audience a little bit about why you do that and how you do that, because I think there's probably every other person in the arts in Orlando has probably been touched in some positive way by your coaching or mentoring or connecting a dot or two so that somebody gets a leg up. So I wanted to praise you for that and maybe hear you talk about your philosophy of mentoring and helping people.
Well, I think it goes back because I started in the chorus. Part of the process of being in the chorus, you go to an audition. You would audition, and if they didn't want you, they said the most, oh, my goodness, thank you. And that thank you was, no thank you, you're not good enough, leave. And I promised myself that if I was ever in that position of auditioning people, that I would give a word of encouragement. I would not allow them to leave feeling deflated or not valued. And I did that for the short time that I was involved in the auditioning process, but it became the same. It moved over to when I was interviewing people. I didn't want anyone coming to me seeking help, assistance, a job, without leaving with something. Words of encouragement, direction, assistance, advice. Many, many people over the decades now talk about that experience they had. And at the time, it was not something that I felt was different or unusual. It just felt like the right thing to do. And I was doing it at Walt Disney World and the guest experience. I wanted, if I couldn't give them a job, I wanted them to still love the company, respect what we do, and have a positive Disney experience. So they would leave with that. And over time, if somebody hadn't baked in the oven long enough, give them a little more time, stay connected to them. And then they would follow directions and get more experience, and they would stay in touch. And a number of people over the years, they would go out and do that, and they would come back, and they were in a much better position to bring value to the organization. The fact I have this odd reputation for being responsible for no, it's them. It's these people that earned their own way, and I was only there to help facilitate them.
What did you see in Richard, and did you know that he would someday be our vice president of entertainment at Walt Disney World? Did you see that type of leadership in him?
With Rich, and he had just come off of getting married and was with the Fred Waring organization, the quote, the boy singer, but he had done more than that, but It was his passion and commitment. And when he talked, and I can vividly remember him talking about the organization he was coming from, and he did not talk necessarily about himself, but he talked about what his organization did, which it wasn't I'm the greatest thing in the world. It talked about we all work together to create something quite marvelous, something that was which is in arts oftentimes it's collaborative. There are those things that individual artists create solely on their own, but in the theater, in musical, in an orchestra, it's collaborative. We all have to be playing in the same key, or we don't have something that's
we don't stand a chance. And Rich, my friend, hello, and we're so glad you're on the show. But I know you're a huge fan of Gene. But what besides his mentoring makes his leadership so powerful? What is it that what is it about him that people want to follow?
Well, I think there's, you know, everybody, I think, looks to Gene as sort of the dean of entertainment and the arts here in Orlando that's seen such a renaissance over the past decade or so. And he's done such a wonderful job at the Rep, but he also helps the other organizations and the Garden Theater and just different organizations that come to him for advice, because he's very wise. He's very open and honest and friendly, and it's just his nature. In fact, I think there's a great story Gene could probably embellish a little bit, because we had a opportunity this past year to be a part of probably one of the bigger events I've ever seen happen, with people who Gene has impacted their lives, got together to surprise him on his birthday. And it was a huge event at the Rep Theater, and about 300 people who knew Gene, who Gene had helped, showed up at the party. Gene was surprised. But Gene, can you kind of tell the subplot of the story?
Well, yes. It was a surprise birthday party. It was my 75th birthday. And it was one of those opportunities that my dear friend Dee Burns came up with. She did something for her 60th birthday where she said, "Oh, I set things up. I really did it all. I planned for my 60th birthday," and she had 25 or 30 of her friends, you know, multiply the size of what we were going for. So she said, "You should do that for your 75th birthday." And we took a year to plot this out with only three people knowing. So we created somebody from the past. It was Wally Hines. And if you think of Hines 57, you take the 5 and the 7 and you reverse it, that's 75. And that's how we came up with it. We did a whole backstory. We're Disney and I love stories. So we did a backstory about how I worked with Wally Hines. He had come to visit, and I'm always touring people through the Rep, or I'm always meeting people at Disney. Well, Wally had come through, thought I was doing such a marvelous job. He wanted to throw the surprise birthday party, and we got to keep it a secret from Gene. Now, realize I was able, from my position really being Wally Hines, to be getting this information about what plots were there. Now, my co-conspirators wouldn't tell me everything. They only gave me bits and pieces. But I was able to do things like, to my wife, Miss Becky, I would drop something like, "Well, I'm worried about my son Robert in Los Angeles, so I need to go out to Los Angeles. See, I'm thinking the weekend before my birthday," which is exactly when the party was planned. So watching her tap dance and wander through this, the same at the Rep, the staff, they had to get me out of the building so that the caterers could come in. And I was able to throw curveballs and watching.
Rich was involved. Tell
her,
oh,
yes,
had Rich
he
involved.
Was the producing, yeah, all yeah, the entertainment.
Because he was getting these emails from you.
We did a show. We set up a lot of diversions for Gene, not knowing that Gene was setting up his own diversions for us. The entire evening happened. We did a show just to salute Gene, and then Gene got up to sort of have his chance to say a few words. And as he started talking, I turned to my wife and I said, I think we've all been had here. Because Gene threw his own 75th birthday party because he wanted to give back, as he always does, to other people. And he wanted to make sure that he could thank people who'd been important in his life, that he had been more important in their lives. And that's the whole essence of why Gene Columbus is so special. He's a giver, not a taker.
Rich, you were getting these emails saying, spare no expense, get food, get drinks, just send me the bill, I'm going to pay for it, and you would just do all this for him. And here's a list of people I know, but you probably know more. Invite anyone you want. Now, is this correct how I got this part of the story? So
tell people? The stage manager kept everybody going. We had an MC, Greg Bell, MC'd. He didn't know anything. Becky didn't know anything. No one knew anything except Gene and two other people. Mm-hmm. And they just kept the whole thing going. And Gene delighted in kind of trying to poke a hole in it once in a while to get people excited and nervous.
I'll tell you what.
Just for fun, because that's what Gene is.
It was so funny at the end when there was this silence, and we all kind of sat there. I happened to be there. And we looked like, huh? Gene threw this? Your face was priceless, Rich. You were just dumbfounded. You turned so pale. It was like, what? And then your wife, I know she was half kidding but half not, because she had been crying during this whole thing. And she threw down her tissues and walked across the stage, and then your host threw down the mic. And I think you got up too, didn't you, Rich?
Yeah, it was all just...
it was so fun. It was
about a wonderful... I told him he can't do that again because we're wise to him.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And you said such touching things. You said, I am surprised. You know, really, I've wanted you all to be here. And you are, and it worked. But I didn't know exactly who would be here. There's a lot of things I didn't know, and that was really beautiful. And the talent was so beautiful.
It was very moving for me. Certainly, the people that came and surprised me, that was amazing to me. But it was the opportunity to surprise those of you that were surprising me. The opportunity to thank everybody because my reputation has been built upon what all of these folks have done so wonderfully. They did it on their own, and inadvertently people are looking at me and saying, oh, golly, Gene, you have a great eye for talent. And we all have great eyes for talent if we stop, look, and listen. People in the arts want desperately to give, and it was my chance to give back to them a little bit with a surprise. And I thank you all for that. And Rich, thank you for this surprise. Love hearing from you, and thanks for your kind words.
It's my pleasure. Be sure you plug Singing in the Rain while you're on the show.
We will sure do that. Rich, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you calling in, and we know that Gene means the world to you. So we're glad that we were able to connect you guys over the air and let all of Magic 107 listeners know how important Gene Columbus is. Mm-hmm. So thank you for calling
pleasure.
In.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you
a,
so much,
to,
Rich.
It's an honor to be on for Gene, and what a great show. You all keep doing what you're doing for the arts in Orlando, too.
Thank you, sir.
We appreciate that. Well, Gene, you and Rich have gone back for many, many years. What and he said this was such a great memory, but share with us quickly. We only have about a minute, but what's another just fun memory that you've had since you've been at the Orlando Rep?
The Rep is such an amazing place. This past season, we did some great shows. We're so excited about next season, and I'll hint a couple of things. Llama Llama next year. Curious George next year.
Wow. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I'd love to.
Yes. Now, I'm letting those out of the bag. The Happy Elf at Christmas time. A special show, Rock the Presidents, is a musical tribute, and it's coming around the election time. And so we're excited about that. And we're still finalizing titles because in this world it's all about having the rights and doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we there's going to be some exciting things at the Rep, and we want to hear all about it when we come back. So don't go away. Stay with us, listeners. We'll be right back here on From the Heart on Magic 107.7 FM.
Welcome back to From the Heart, everyone. What a fun story hearing about the surprise party for Gene's 75th that he threw himself.
Yeah, and it just is a huge testimony to Gene's sense of humor, but also just how many people love you and how many people have been impacted by you in this life. And so many more stories to come, I know for sure.
And but there was one other thing that we didn't mention, but the a surprise to you was Mayor Buddy Dyer officially made your birthday Gene Columbus Day in Orlando, and I thought that was the coolest thing.
Oh, I'm so honored, and my wall is pretty full with stuff, but there's stuff coming down so that can go up.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, so what day is your birthday, Gene, so we can all celebrate Gene Columbus Day?
Oh, August the 24th.
Oh, we'll throw a party, Mary.
You got it.
And a week. Well, my co-conspirator said that we'll probably send out an announcement that do not stand by for a surprise, unsurprised birthday party this year.
Well, Gene, so you're at the very heart of who you are right now is the Orlando Repertory Theater. That is your mission, your day in and day out of making that such a great theater. Tell us what's happening there right now.
The Rep, our goal is creating moments that matter. And for a young person, if they have that experience, they will do just as if I ask you or any of our audience members, think back on that first experience. You may not remember the name of the show, but you'll remember the experience. And that's what we're trying to create for young people. A moment that matters. A time when the light goes on in your head that this is something unique and special. For many of our kids, it isn't a question of us trying to build Broadway stars. Actually, we're building audiences for tomorrow. Falling in love with going to the theater, going to concerts, going to museums. We exhibit art in our lobby areas. In fact, we showcase children's art and how wonderful it is for a child to be able to do a creation, go to the Rep, and there see hanging on the wall their art. That is really special. But it's the kind of place where you age out. We know that it's hard for a middle school or high school student to go to Junie B. Jones, the musical. They're still a lot of fun, but they're ready to move on. They're ready to go to the Orlando Shakespeare Theater to see deeper, more provocative types of works, or go to Mad Cow, or go out to the Garden Theater. There's so much other theater in town, and we hope we're ushering the kids in our front door so that they go through our doors into other doors. We do a lot of musical things, and kids seem to just gravitate to those kinds of programs. We have to realize that every fourth grader has the opportunity to go to the Orlando Philharmonic concert. Mm-hmm. And I think it's every second or third grader goes to the Orlando Ballet. Those are enriching. Mm-hmm. Those are magic moments. I've interviewed thousands and thousands of people over the years, and many of them talk about that first experience. I just had a vision of a young woman telling me that her mom took her to the Radio City Music Hall when she was very, very young. And she said that she walked in not thinking she was going to be interested, left committed to this is what she wanted to do in her life.
Wow.
So we never know.
Gene, yeah, I didn't. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of fourth grade, my little niece, who loves Judy Blume books, was able to sit beside her and watch Tales of the Fourth Grade Nothing that you guys did, that you just did. And to see her read those books and then watch her see those characters come to life was amazing. Her face just lit up and she had so many questions. And so you are awakening the experience of theater in young children. And we have another guest on the line that really would love to see you, to talk to you. And we're full of surprises today. And this person works for you. You know, there's one thing for peers and colleagues, but we have Ashley Wilsey on the line, who is your marketing director. And we love Ashley. She's a fantastic performer and director herself, and we had her on the show before. But hello, Ashley. Welcome to From the
Ashley.
Heart.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
Hey, beautiful.
Ashley.
And hello,
I'm not stopping by your office, standing there, and you showing me something or me saying, look what just came in the mail.
He was Ashley, telling us he has to get back to do your checks.
Ashley, tell us what it's like quickly. What is it like to be on Gene's team, and why is he making the Orlando Rep just a better place to work, or a better place to do art, and a better place to experience theater?
Well, just as I've said before, I mean, Gene is a fantastic leader, and, you know, great organizations, really, at the heart of them is great leadership. And Gene just has really, in the time that I've worked under him, he has just always fostered an atmosphere of warmth and creativity, and the staff has always just felt very much like a family, and it has felt like a safe, welcoming environment for people to bring their ideas, to be creative, to be encouraged, to receive constructive feedback, because you just know that it's a place where everyone is on the same page and everyone is working towards the same goal, which is, you know, to bring theater to families and young audiences in Central Florida. And Gene has just been a fantastic leader and has really kept everyone on that same page with that same focus all the
time. Ashley, do you have a favorite Gene story?
A favorite?
Or memory?
Don't tell that one.
Anyone but that one.
Well, you can think about that. I also was curious to know, what's the biggest lesson, the biggest impact that you would say that Gene has had on you in particular? If you had to take a big lesson.
Yeah, on me personally, again, I mean, Gene has just always at least pushed me, I feel like, to do more. I mean, you know, I'm a department of one in the marketing department. It's a rep. It's just me. But he has always just encouraged me to do more. And, okay, you know, we did this season. This was great. This was successful. What else are we going to do? Like, you know, how can we take this to the next level? How can we make this even better? And just, you know, never resting on our laurels, just as a company, but, you know, for me especially, and just, you know, how can I continue to, you know, make our work better and, you know, better showcase our product and to continue to evolve our brand. So that's something that Gene has just, you know, been very encouraging to me over the years.
Well, we're so fortunate because, as you know, Ashley is an incredibly gifted artist, and she's fun too. She's got a great sense of humor, not only do we like to have kind of a family atmosphere, we're actually, it wasn't that long ago, we had one of the members of our staff get married. And what did we create, Ashley?
Oh, we created one of Gene's signature pieces. Gene has created what's called the Rep Marriage Toolbox. It actually has very little to do with the rep other than the fact that we give this to our staff members who get married. But Gene has written, it's an extensive piece. It's like a single-spaced 8-page Word document. But, you know, I've of course, worked with him and kind of, you know, designed that, you know, made it look pretty. But that is something that it is a literal toolbox. And so the staff all comes together and we, you know, get on a sign-up sheet and each sign up for a tool. And then Gene, that goes into this toolbox. And then Gene has written a description of what the tool is and how it's used and how that, you know, ties into marriage. And it's a metaphor for things that you need to, you know, work on your marriage and maintain it over the years, you know, to keep things healthy, to keep things fresh. So it's just a really sweet, sweet piece that, that Jean does for the rep staffers and that everyone, you know, can kind of be a part of together and, again, support that staff member who may be getting married. In this case, it was one of our box office associates. She recently got married, and so that was just really sweet for her.
That's so cool. Jean creating family at the rep. Speaking of family and the rep family, well, tell us about summer camps this summer. I know you guys got some great things happening. Let us let our listeners know what they can take part in.
Well, Ashley, don't we have 85 in five locations?
Yes. Yes, over 85 actually, but yeah, over 85, and we have expanded this summer. We have two additional locations. Every year we feel like we can't possibly do any more, and then we add something else. But
85 have, classes?
Well, we have classes, but we've added the locations. So we have campuses now in Lake Nona, which is new for us this year, in addition to our main campus at the Rep, you know, located in Lock Haven Park. And then we have, as we've had in the past, at UCF, as well as Celebration. And one of our new locations, another one, is also at Princeton House Charter School. And we're going to be offering camps for kids on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum.
Oh, nice.
So that will include, for the first time, camps specifically tailored to kids who maybe have sensory processing issues. Mm-hmm. Or have autism or Asperger's, and they just maybe need a little bit more attention. So those camps are going to be geared specifically towards them at Princeton House Charter School. So that's something we're really excited about this year. But again, 85 camps, over 85 camps at five.
So how many children will that probably mean? 85 camps.
We just ordered T-shirts actually for the first time ever. Our campers get T-shirts, and we just ordered 3,000.
Oh my goodness! Congratulations, so that's amazing.
It's really important.
It's going to be a lot.
And I think the underscores in inclusion. We want to make sure every child has the opportunity to experience theater, creativity, participation, and that's what the Rep's all about.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Ashley, so much for joining us and giving a shout out to Jean, because we
you,
know
dear Ashley.
You're lucky to be on his team.
Oh, yes. I think so too.
Thanks, Ashley. We appreciate it.
Hope and to see you soon. Bye.
And Jean, we are so very grateful and thankful for you coming on here. We could have spent all the rest of the day just talking to you. We didn't hardly get any of the stories in that we know you can share, but keep up the great work, and thank you for being a cheerleader and a champion
and
in
friends,
our arts
community. And friends, if you happen to be near Orlando Rep, go on in and ask for Gene. Tell him you heard him here and to say hi to him.
Yes, and my last words will be, don't send your children to the theater. Take them. Enjoy the theater again for the first time through their eyes.
Check out a show at the Orlando Repertory Theater. They have Junie B. Jones still playing, but also there's other great things happening like Beauty and the Beast by Central Florida Community Arts, Singing in the Rain at the Garden Theater, and so much, much more. I think there's even the musical is at Dr. Phillips Center this weekend
and
as
right
well.
And write on your calendar for the first Friday of next month to go to Faith Arts Village Orlando. You'll be proud you did. Look it up.
Yeah, so Mary, another great episode.
Yes.
It's wonderful to spend time with you. And
here.
We have such great guests like Jean. But get out and see some art. Support it in your community. It's making a difference. Thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you next week from the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.